From the Shepherd House International in Georgetown, Guyana, Bishop Victor Connors de Sabre, anointed by God, will inspire you with rare and down-to-earth but provoking teachings from the Word of God to love the Lord deeply and to devote yourself to His work. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Now, here is Bishop Collins.
All together, all together, wonderful to me. Let's sing one more time. Here I am. Here I am to worship. I can't hear your voice.
Here I am to bow down.
And here I am to say that you're my God. You're all together. You're all together. All together worthy, all together wonderful to me. Father, this morning, thank you so much for bringing us together. Thank you for your kindness and your mercies towards us. I pray, Lord, you will speak to our hearts, affect our lives. You will not allow us to leave your presence this came. In Jesus' name, somebody said, amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. God bless you. You're welcome this morning. I bring you greetings from West Africa. West Africa. You know where is West Africa? I went to West Africa. And past some other places also. Okay. So it's good to be here. It's good to be back. It's good to be where life is at. This is the heartbeat of the whole operations. Hallelujah. Wow. And of course, you know, today is what? They say today is Mashramani or something like that. So, you know, people are distracted, but that's okay. That's okay. Judgment is on the leaders who can't make decisions because of popularity sake. Amen. All right. So you're very welcome this morning. Our pastor from Suriname is here, isn't it? Brother Jamal. Papi, stand up and shake. Come on. Yeah. Wave. That's right. So That's Brother Jamal. He's our pastor in Paramaribo. Amen. God bless you. You're welcome. And I think there's a young lady who came also from Suriname, from Noord-Poolweg. Noord-Poolweg? Yeah? Wow. God bless you. Taki-taki? Taki-taki? You taki-taki? Okay. Wow. So that's one of our church members from Suriname. I think Silvio is coming tomorrow. Silvio is coming tomorrow. Wonderful. Wonderful. Hallelujah. We have a church in Suriname also. Amen. God bless you, Brother Jamal. Brother Jamal is a good example of what we are doing. That you will go somewhere and do something for Jesus Christ. What do you think? Amen. Thank you very much. I was in Ghana. I was talking to, you know, we have some guys there still, isn't it? We have our boys. We have our... In fact, all of them are coming this year. So you have to give me a lot of money this year. I think about 8 or 9 of them. Job, his wife, and his child. You have to buy tickets for Zoe Job. Calvin will pay that one. Yeah, he's an uncle. To Job, Shaniza, Oren, Junior, Lloyd, who? Andre, Christopher, who else? Tanisha, Danny, no, Danny is staying. Danny is behind. Danny will come next year. He wants to stay longer, so it's okay. Danny is coming next year. So about 8 of them are coming, including a baby. Right, so I was talking to them all these years. What we send people to, can you hear me? Yeah. Can you hear me well? Are you sure you can hear me well? Sister Charlene, can you hear me? Oh, that's Basma's wife. Hey, you didn't hear the motorcade when she was coming. You didn't hear that. Well, you're welcome, Basma's wife. God bless you. You know, so I was talking to them for all these years that we've been sending people to Bible school. One of the things that seems to be lacking is a personal conviction. Are you with me? So when you ask the guys, so what are you going to do after school? They say, oh, whatever my bishop wants me to do, is the wrong answer. That's why some people are not pastors anymore. Because they did not have a personal conviction about why they are doing what they are doing. I don't know if you're trying to understand what I'm saying. Because if you don't have a personal conviction, then when I die, you are dead. When I stop following God, you stop following God. Because you don't have a conviction of your own. But it's very important to have a conviction of your own, isn't it? So Brother Jamal is a good example of somebody who, you know, even though I ask him to go there, he's gone there and he's there and he's trying something. Isn't that a nice thing? He's trying something. He's doing something. He also believes that he can preach. He believes that he can gather some people. And that is what he's doing. So I asked the boys. I asked them. I asked Oren. I asked Daniel. I asked Andre. I asked Job. I asked all of them, what are you going to do when you come back? They said, whatever you tell me. I said, you should never tell me that thing again. It has not helped me all these years. What do you want to do? So I told them to go and think about it. The next day, we'll talk about it. They came and I asked them, what do you want to do? This person said that. This person, I said, now you are talking like somebody who believes in God. Before you are talking like somebody who doesn't even understand Christianity. So after all these years here, you wouldn't even do anything because you don't have a conviction of your own. And that is one of the things that we suffer in our country. People don't know God. People are not ambitious. People just there. Small thing, they stop the church. Small thing, they don't go to church anymore. Because there is nothing from your heart towards God in what we are doing. I have a conviction. That's why I live here. I wasn't born here. I wasn't born in Guyana. Oh, you thought I was born here? Minister, you thought I was born in this country? I wasn't born here. I'm even not talking like somebody who was born here. I just came here because of my conviction. That's why I'm here. So what is your conviction? To leave your house and come to the church on a Sunday morning, even that you don't have a conviction about it. It's very sad. I said it's very sad. Because if anybody should have a certain passion towards him, it's God and nobody else. I said, if anybody else should attract our passion, it should be God Almighty and nothing else. Oh. You know, so that's just an introduction. This morning for a few minutes, because some of you have plans after church. I also have plans, but not the type of plan you have. Ivo, what do you think? Yeah. I want to talk about salvation. And I want to talk about seven great principles. Turn to your neighbor and say seven great principles. Now, I want to help you understand what we call salvation. Amen. Amen. Do you want to understand salvation?
Yes, sir.
Because many people do not understand the concept of salvation. When you are saved, when you give your life to Jesus Christ, what does it mean? What has actually happened and what is going to happen? Are you with me this Sunday morning? Jeremiah, are you there? Are you with me Sunday morning? Are you sure you're here? Good. And so, there are what we call seven great principles. All right? When you give your life to Jesus Christ, you need to understand what has happened and what is going to happen. People don't take church serious because they don't have a certain understanding. It's like when people go to school. Many people go to school without understanding. So when you wake up in the morning, it's because your mother says you should go. That's why you're going. If your mother didn't send you, you won't go. In fact, we like saying that thing, send. My mother didn't send me. That's why we say, I throw my tithe. You don't throw your tithe. If you want to throw anything, it's throwing is shying. It's not what it is. You are shying something. That's what you mean when you say you are throwing something. You don't throw money. If you throw money at somebody, it's an insult. If I throw this thing at you right now, it's either I'm angry with you or I'm bored with you. That's why I'll throw the thing at you. Don't say, I'm going to throw my offering. Even the mind to use the word throw. People didn't think carefully about that word before they used it. I know it's krolis, and it means that you are giving, but the meaning, it belittles the offering. Are you with me? So, this morning, I want to try and do two principles every Sunday so that I can finish quickly. All right, because for some of you, this is a new life. And in this new life, you need to understand what's going on or what has actually gone on. Are you with me? In the Bible, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. The Bible says that, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I have two girls. I have two daughters. They are going to school in England. And I visited them on my way back. They live with my sister, whose birthday is actually today. Yeah, she's what? 57 years old today. Yeah, she's 57 today. Yeah. 57? No, 50. 54. Sorry, she's 54 today. Sorry, 54 years today. Yeah. Now, when I said I was going to visit them, they had to take me to a hotel. Because there's no space in their home. My girls, they sleep in a very nice, warm bedroom that's very, very small. I'm sure somebody's toilet is probably like that, or somebody's bathroom may be like that. You see, if you don't understand something, if you don't understand Christianity, you'll be disappointed. So I have something good to tell them. When I told them, I said, look at where you are staying. You want to stay in this country when you finish school? It's up to you. The highest is to upgrade yourself to a smaller room. I couldn't stay in my sister's house. I used to live there. I couldn't stay because the place is packed. So they have to take me to a hotel like a visitor. Can you believe it? Yeah? I have a brother in Holland. I have not been to Holland for a long time because when I go to him, he can't host me in his house. You have to put me in a hotel. Because even he has two babies now. In Holland, every baby deserves one room. You can't put two children in one room in Holland. It's not allowed. If the social worker comes to find you that your two children are in one room, they'll summon you to court. No, even twins. So from baby, Deborah has her room. Anna has her room. So by the time the baby even catches itself or herself or himself, the self-esteem and confidence is too high. Because as a toddler, they have their room. And that's when they have these intercoms. They have this little microphone intercom. They put it in a court. And so if the baby's crying, the parents will hear it in their bedroom and they'll just get up and come. They don't have baby on the bed like black people used to. And when they get big like Jeremiah, they don't even want to move. They still want to stay on the bed. Can you imagine Jeremiah with his mother and father on the same bed? Oh, what do you mean? And then you disturb Pastor Calvin. He can't do things. Yeah? Yeah. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. So, even Sister Judy is in England with her husband. They went to seek medical attention. The people are saying that they won't take care of the husband. Because for 42 years as a British, he has not paid tax in the country before. So they don't have anything to do for him. Yeah. You see, when you don't understand something, you sit outside and then you say all kinds of things. You even desire something that you don't even understand what you are desiring. Yeah, that's it. He's not a citizen. If you're a citizen, you pay tax. And when you pay tax, they will take care of you when you are sick. So wherever you've gone to live your life, go there, let them take care of you. Yeah. You want to go to England? You don't want to go? Okay, good. Now you don't want to go. Good. Guyana is very nice. Where you were born, except God moves you, you shouldn't leave. Oh. Because you should ask yourself, why were you not born in Barbados? Is Barbados not probably a better country than us? David, are you there? Is Barbados not probably a better country than our country? Maybe now that oil is coming, we can say that we are going to get bigger or whatever. But why were you not born in America? Because God didn't want you to be born in America, but in Guyana. And you can only move because God says you should move. Otherwise, you move on your own accord, and then whatever also comes with it, it is also your own business. Are you following me? So, you have to understand that the first principle says that man is a spirit. He has a soul, and he lives in a body. To even understand salvation, you need to understand what a human being is all about. A human being is a spirit. He has a soul and he lives in a body. Can you say it after me? Man is a spirit, has a soul, and lives in a body. Let's say it one more time. Man is a spirit, has a soul, and lives in a body. That is why the Bible says that your whole most you sanctify holy, and that I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body. So you are not one person, you are three in one. Like God, the Bible says that God created us in his image and in his likeness. So God is Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And therefore, you and I, created in the image of God, are also Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That is soul, spirit, and body. So every human being is a spirit. That human spirit has a soul. And then the spirit and the soul lives in a body. So the body you have, that is the type of house you built when you came into this world. Some of you are a two-bedroom apartment. Some of you are a six-story building. Some of you are a flat house. Somebody, you have two rooms. Somebody have four rooms. The type of body you came with is what your spirit is staying inside. And therefore, a day will come where your spirit will leave your body. Are you with me? I'm saying a day will come, your spirit will not be in your body forever. Because the spirit lives forever. The body does not live forever. Are you following? The body does not. If you look at your body, you see that those of you who are a little older, your body is changing. Yeah. People, see, old people normally don't tell us. But one day, you need glasses to see. Those of you who don't use glasses now, enjoy your time without glasses. The time is coming, you will do that. It's who? You will not believe that it's you. Yeah. And the person will mention their name. It's me, Leon. I said, oh, Leon? You look like Papi. I said, no. How can you be Papi? The eyes have begun to dim. Images have begun to look crooked in the sight of the two eyes that used to be very sharp. A time is coming. Somebody will have to hold you to walk. So now enjoy your high heels. Because the time is coming, even slippers, you will not wear some. It will be too heavy for your feet. Yeah. At my age, when I wear shoes with heels, I get tired faster. Yes. Yeah. So this is my pumps I'm wearing. It's pumps. Yeah. If I go on heels right now, by the time I finish preaching, I feel it in my legs. I may not look so, but your body tells you so. You are aging. You see, I told my big brother, he didn't tell me why he started bawling his head at a certain age. Because my father did the same thing. And I see that he's also walking around with a bald head. So when I look at him, he's 60 years old. When I look at him, I say, is this how I'm going to look when I'm 60? Of course, that's how you're going to look when you're 60. You don't have hair anymore. The hair you have, you will not be happy with it, so you have to take it off. I see, I can show you a picture of me when I was 5 years old. Oh my, bushy hair like that. We just didn't used to plait hair in my country. Otherwise, I would have had a picture with a plait hair like Papi used to have plait hair. Bushy hair like that. 5 year old walking around. Hair. Now, when I go to the barber, it's not to cut my hair, it's to design my hair. To design. Now you when you go and cut your hair, right? You cut your hair. No, when I go, I have to design my hair. Because things are catching up. Yeah. Things I never thought and I never knew about, they are happening. Some of you, you'll be losing your teeth. Venetia, can you imagine yourself without teeth? Hey, you should think about it. Now, so that is the part of you that will not last. But there's this part of you, which is the spirit, that lives forever. And that spirit is very important, because when that spirit leaves your body, you have to make sure that it goes to a better place. I say you have to make sure that that spirit goes to a better place. So the Bible says that God will sanctify us holy. And he talks about spirit, he talks about soul, and he talks about the body. Now, you should be able to understand what I'm saying, because when you sleep, when you lie down, when you sleep, you see that you dream. How many of you get dreams when you sleep? Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes you get funny dreams. So when you sleep, it's not everybody who sleeps and sleeps. Some people sleep and they are still working. They are still somewhere. Some people sleep and they go to America. Some people sleep and they come to church. Some people sleep and they go to work. The part of you that seems to be active is not the part of you that is on the bed. Your body is still on the bed, but there's a part of you that seems to wander when you are asleep. So you have to understand that you as an individual, you are not just what you see. And if you are not just what you see, then it's very important to understand what happens to the spirit, what happens to the soul, what happens to the body with time. And that's where salvation comes in. Because what will happen to the spirit is that one day the spirit will either have to go to heaven or go to hell. So in order to take care of your spirit, that is why we give our lives to God. And then we make sure that the relationship is maintained until we are no more. So your spirit travels. When you die, your body will be here, and that spirit will go. There's nobody who is dead who is dead. Do you know anybody who is dead in your family? My parents are dead. My mother is dead. My father is dead. But they are dead because they are absent here on this earth. But they are present somewhere. They are present where this physical body cannot go to. My mother is not dead. Like Billy Graham said, he has only changed his address. Because man is spirit, has a soul, and lives in a body. You see, so when you are spirit, when you are born, you take a body, and then you also have a part of you that seems to help you in life. Are you following? So the spirit is that which leaves when you die. The soul is the aspect of you that has emotions. Because King David said something. He said that, why bless the Lord, O my soul? Isn't it? And all that's within me, bless his holy name. He said, why are you sad, O my soul? Rejoice, my soul. So it tells you that the soul has feelings. The spirit doesn't have feelings. The soul has feelings. So when you talk about the soul, you are talking about three aspects, which is your emotions, your will, and then your mind. So when you are born, you are a spirit, you occupy a body, and you come with an attachment called emotions, called will, and called your mind. So your thinking takes place in your soul. Your feelings takes place in your soul. Hallelujah. That's how David says that He restores my soul. Your soul can get contaminated now and then. Your soul can get rusty now and then. Because your emotions can be affected. You can have a roller coaster of emotions. Some people can disappoint you. You can be disappointed in life. You can be sad. You can be happy. So the soul gets a bit exhausted and it gets dirty. Like the oil in an engine of a vehicle. So God is the one who works on your soul. I didn't hear you. He works on your soul. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He renovates my soul. He refurbishes my soul. You know the phones that Pastor Calvin brings for us to buy? Those phones are renovated phones, refurbished phones. Calvin, I have a refurbished phone that the firmware, the security is not picking up. The update, Android, is not picking up. I said, hey, God, deliver us from used phones. Yeah, deliver us from used phones. So after a few encounters in life, your soul gets affected. That's why some people go mad. Because their soul, which is the mind part of the soul, has been affected. So the person doesn't think straight anymore. I see people who become very hard. They don't believe anything anymore. Because somebody has been lying to them or they've been lied to in life. Now they don't believe anything anymore. It's very difficult to convince them about anything because their soul has been affected. And that's why Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bind up those whose hearts have been broken, whose souls have been affected, to those that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Your soul now and then gets affected. And as long as you're going to use your soul here on earth, you need checkup now and then. And it is only in the presence of the Lord that you get that satisfaction. It is only God who restores your soul. I tell you, if you're going to live life a little bit, you realize that you get all kinds of things. Many of you here are racial. Yeah. Your soul is affected. It's true. Many people we come and meet here, they're also racial. Some people don't like black people come here. Some people don't like Indians. Some people don't like Amerindians. It's because there's something wrong with the soul part of you. That's why you don't do those things. And all these things are things that God himself is able to refurbish. You need the manufacturer. You need the original, the person who created the soul, to be able to restore to factory settings. The Lord is restoring somebody today in Jesus' name. So that's your feelings is a proof of the fact that you have a soul. Your thinking is a proof of the fact that you have a soul. Your will. You decided to come to church today, not to go to MASH. Now, anybody who came here today, you are very special. Tell to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, you are very, very special. But you see, I hope that if I wasn't here, and then that other pastor is also not here, that you would have come anyway. That is the part that I am not sure about. Nitisha, that's the part that I'm not sure about. That if somebody had not called you today, what would you have done today? Mash up. Yeah. Now, if you live in a very respectable country, they don't do foolish things on Sunday. It's this same God who has given us oil, you know. 50-something years is now we have discovered what God has actually given to us. So how long is it going to cause us to discover all the things that God has given? You will not find them until you are dead. Ask yourself, all this time that Guyana has been here, it's now that we found oil. Oil was there already. Who put it there? The same God that on a Sunday people are going to wear panties and brassiere and going to be whining on the street. That same God. Yeah.
He's the one who has helped us to discover oil that now our minds are turning around. Yeah. And this is how we say thank you on a Sunday to mash. I tell you, something will happen today. You wait and see. You'll read it in the news, if I'm a man of God. You'll read it in the news. All the confusion and all the things about mash. And we are not ashamed to repost it on Facebook and say, we told you. You don't do these things. You see, God is not particular about a day, but we have accepted universally that Sunday is a day of worship. So God expects us that if that is that we also do something on a Sunday. If it was a Monday, he wouldn't mind. But that Monday must be set aside for him and for him alone. The Bible says God is a jealous God. You see, God, in a sense, has the character, a woman has the characteristics of God. Just as a woman is jealous. How many of you women, how many of you wives, how many of you girlfriends will allow your fella or man or husband on your birthday to go out with another woman? He didn't take you out. If he didn't take you out, okay, forgot. That's a different offense. But to take another woman out on your birthday, Mingo, on your birthday, it's like this boy respect disrespectful bad. That is what has happened today. You will not come to church, fine. But you are going to date something and somebody else. Are you with me? So today is Sunday. You will not come to church. You stay home. But to go and rejoice somewhere else, it is serious. It's serious. And that's what Guyanese don't know. God says, the first commandment says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And it's something people don't think about. Our country is full of idols. One thing God told his people about, don't have any other gods. And the second commandment says, do not make for yourself any graven image. Before he came to thou shalt not kill, he said, don't beside me. That's the first. If you kill, it's like the killing is okay, done. To take somebody next to me. To be occupied with something else but me. To dedicate your time and your life to something else but me. Something that God will judge from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet. Man is a spirit. Has a soul. Lives in a body. As for the body, I don't have to talk about it because we all know our bodies. Yeah, some of you weigh 70 kilos, 80 kilos. 70 pounds, 80 pounds. Some have hips, some don't have. I don't know what you did to God for him to give you hips and some didn't get hips. I don't know. Some have this, some have that. All kinds of things. That's your physical body. So you have the body. You live in the body. And you are going to die and leave the body. One day, all this thing, that nice cream you are putting on your body. When I returned from my trip, My wife was telling me that. Have you seen the toothpaste in the bathroom? I said, yeah. Somebody gave it to me. I said, oh, all right. He says, oh, it makes your teeth bright. I said, rest yourself. I have been living for about 50 years. I don't believe in those things anymore. Let me keep my teeth brown. It's okay. I'll brush it every day. Don't come and tell me that you have some toothpaste. Is it bleach you put in the toothpaste or what? Well, what are you talking about, white? Amazingly, the toothpaste has charcoal written on it. So it has charcoal inside. You know, when I was growing up, we used to brush with it with charcoal and the banana stem,
a head. So when you cut the top of the banana, when you cut it off, when you're peeling it off, the one that is on top, when you peel it, that top, the bigger one is like a brush. So you bite it and make it like a brush, and then you chew coal, and then you do that. Yeah. And then when you go and wash your teeth, it looks white. I said, where did these people get coal from to put it in the toothpaste? Please don't. That teeth you want to make white? The nicest thing Venice is that all doesn't go one time, but one falls first. One will fall first. Then you say, oh. Now when you are smiling, you can't smile. You have to smile. You can't open your mouth well. Your body will go down one day. Your spirit and your soul will continue. You have to make sure that where they go is a good place. If you love yourself, Shiana, if you love life, you love yourself, then make sure that when you die, your spirit goes to a better place. Prime, are you there? You're sleeping. Luke chapter 16, very quickly. Luke chapter 16. Was there a certain rich man? You remember the rich man? Wow. It's raining. Beautiful. Luke chapter 16. The verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fed sumptuously every day. And there was a beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried. The Bible talks about two guys. One is called Lazarus, one is called the rich man. Both of them die. After they are dead, they find themselves somewhere. When you die, you find yourself somewhere. Do you believe it? Yeah? Do you have anybody who is dead? You have a relative who has died before? Who's that? Grandmother? Grandfather?
Uncle?
You know, uncle is alive somewhere now. Ah. So you now have to think about where you would go. That's why you are here today. So that your mind will be brought to the end of every human being. The rich man died and he found himself somewhere where he was burning. Where will you find yourself when you die right now? Will you find yourself in a place burning, or you find yourself in Abraham's bosom? That's the question you have to think about. And by the time I finish preaching, I'll pray for you if you choose to give your life to Christ today. Second principle, very quickly. The spirit of an unsaved man is dead and desperately wicked. The spirit of an unsaved man is dead and desperately wicked. The spirit of an unsaved man is dead and desperately wicked. The spirit of an unsaved man
is dead and desperately wicked. If somebody is not saved, you see, I started by talking about understanding salvation. You have to understand that first, man is made up of a spirit. Man is a spirit. He has a soul. He lives in a body. Number two, the spirit of somebody who's not saved is dead. If you are not saved, your spirit is dead. That is why people who are not saved seem to do all kinds of bad and foolish things. And that is why when you are saved and you do those bad and foolish things, then the question is that you go to church, you call yourself a brother? Because the dead things that people who are dead, they do, you who is alive is not supposed to be doing those things. Should I say it again? Are you alive? I said the things that dead people do. When you are not dead, you don't do those things. The Bible says the spirit of an unsaved man, or the second principle says the spirit of an unsaved man is dead. And it's desperately wicked. It means that if you are not born again, you are a wicked person. You cannot trust anybody who's not born again. No matter how nice the guy looks, no matter how beautiful the girl looks, once the person is not born again, the spirit of that person is dead, and it is desperately wicked. I mean, how many of you will marry somebody who is dead? Huh? Somebody who is dead. Can't whine. No whining. The lady pastor tells me that a dead person can't whine. You can play music. Whine on me. And it'll be there like that, dead. Stiff. How many of you will marry somebody who is very wicked? Eh? Miss Trotz. Is this Trotz? How many of you will marry somebody who is desperately wicked? But that's what we do because we don't understand the concept of salvation. We our best friends are people who are dead and desperately wicked. The people we move with are people who are dead and who are desperately wicked. People who are not saved, people who are not born again. They are the type of friends and relations we have. Let me tell you, if your father is not saved, he's dead and desperately wicked. My father told me, many people, your parents are dead and desperately wicked. That's why they don't want you to be baptized. Yeah, when you come to church, they say they'll move your things out. Who behaves like that? It's not your mother behaving like that. That woman who is behaving like that is a dead woman whose heart is desperately wicked. That's why sometimes they will lock you out. Yeah. Me, when I got saved, my father was very happy because I was a bad boy. So, thank you, Jesus. He'll even give offering on behalf of your child. Hey! Where I was born, in Ghana, when your child, your boy child gets saved, hey, it's hallelujah. You go to church and give thanksgiving offering. Hey! If they say they are baptizing today, so please baptize him every day. Because you love your child, you want your child to do well. On the contrary, in our countries, when somebody wants to be baptized, the mother says, "He ain't ready." That mother's spirit is dead and desperately wicked. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" If you will not consciously marry somebody who is dead, then you be careful who you go around with. You have to go around with people who are only saved. That's what the Bible says. So all my friends are saved. All my friends are Christians.
If you're not a Christian, you're not my friend. I have a politician acquaintance. I was glad I was away all this while because he was on my case to invite him to my church to come and give a political speech. I said, don't worry. He was even trying to connect me to his son, who he thinks that is following Dagwood Mills. I said, you ask him and let him give him my number. Hallelujah. The spirit of an unsaved man is dead and desperately wicked. So don't be surprised what people who are not saved, what they do. Bishop, I got a fella. He's beat me. He's cuffed me. What do you expect? The fella is not born again. His spirit is dead and desperately wicked. How do you expect somebody who is dead not to smell? How do you expect somebody who is dead not to make you sad? The person is dead. You now, who is living, should take lessons from people who are dead and stay away from them. Yes, don't. I advise you, never marry a dead person. Some of you are engaged to somebody who is dead, whose spirit is dead, and who is walking in wickedness. You wait. A few years from now, you'll see it. Full manifestations of wickedness. Yeah. If you join yourself to the person, it's disappointment. It's all kinds of things. Sometimes Christians, you can't even trust them. How much more somebody who's not a Christian? Hey, you want to experiment with your life. This is what happens to people, or this is what people who are not saved, whose spirits are dead, this is what they do. For the wrath of God, Romans 1:18, is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. The things that people who are dead and are desperately, the things they do, God becomes angry. I'm talking about wicked things. You know the building we have in front of Macario's house there? There was a woman, a Chinese woman, who used to live there. I hear people robbed her and killed her many, many, many years ago. And since then, nobody actually has ever lived here. So we live in haunted house. Except that we rather are haunting them. They don't haunt us. We rather are haunting them. when they discover that we are dead, they say, hey, who are these people? We are haunting them, rather. So they can't hang around here. As I saw the Hindus putting, I think they are putting some trees together to burn next week. We are praying against them. It will rain. No fire is going to light up here on the tarmac. Hey! No, they must feel that God is next door to them. Hey! It will rain like this. Next week, Monday, whatever they call it, no fire on the dam. We'll make sure that there will no be the fire. Yeah. Making joke, cutting trees and going there to light it up. When we are here, we came to haunt them. I said we came to haunt those people. Yeah. Came to haunt them. Today, if you had given me Granger to talk to, I would tell him, boss man, boss man, boss man. You don't do things like that. Nobody has told you ever in this country, isn't it? You don't do these things. Don't let me prophesy your defeat. You are forgiven. Yeah, these things cause God to do things. We just don't take note of it. Our church in Georgetown, one day, some thieves came there, broke into the offices, stole our laptops. We had some money in the offices. They stole all the money. One day, somebody came and told us in the church that they know the guys, they have the laptops.
So we should tell the police and come with the police. The guy came to the church in East Lapinitan for about 5 minutes. So I asked him, wait, let's call the police so that you take us. He said, no. I've already told you, showed you where they are. I don't want to, I ain't one day no business. We went to the police to take them to East Ramveld. The police said they want to see the guy who came to tell us that so-and-so has the laptop. I said, Mr. Policeman, you know these people here, Warlock and these places, you can't come and tell on somebody. You can't be a snitch. You policeman know these things, man. Why are you there for? They said, well, if the guy doesn't come, they can't just go like that. Just a few days ago, one of my young pastors told me that in his basenta, he has a fellowship in East Ramveld. Somebody came to the fellowship last week, and when he realized that the church is that church in East Lapinitan's, our church, he said he knows the church. He says the boys who came to steal our laptop and our money, he says that all of them died in 2018. All of them are dead in 2018.
Oh, I thought you were going to clap. You are not happy when people die. Hey, you have to clap when people are dead.
Romans 1:18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. When we do ungodly things and unrighteousness, God releases anger. Sit down and just think, God is a good God. God is a good God. I'm walking in power. I'm walking in miracles. God also, he unleashes vengeance and he rewards ungodliness and unrighteousness from the heavens above. That's what God also does. You have to be careful when you're in a dead state. When you do unrighteousness, be careful. God responds to it. Verse 21. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Why will a woman across the road tell me that I should get out of her village? Why would she tell me I should get out of her? She has a village? She owns a village? She gave birth to a village. She bought a village. Her time is ticking like that. Tick, 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 tick. By the time we are dedicating this building, she will not be around.
I tell you, you wait and see if I'm a man of God.
The spirit of an unsaved man is dead and is desperately wicked.
Romans chapter 1, we are still there. Verse 24.
Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Now they say they have some gay church. They should sex themselves right in a gay church. Their anus, they should use anus, penis and anus in a gay church. It is a response from God against the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. When you see that people say, I am gay, you should know that God is vexed. That is why he has allowed somebody to become crazy and mad to insert his penis inside somebody's poopoo hole. Poopoo.
If you've entered into places before, you understand what I mean by poop hole. There are better places. Reverend Kumar, is there no better places?
Yes. Nicer places. Sweet places. Ash. Ah.
My God. Pascal.
Ash. Ah.
It's like heaven.
It's like heaven. Whoa.
She's like Gary Sugar and Nido.
Yeah. And so for people to change this natural means and go for the other side. Charlie, have you gone to poo-poo before And you thought you cleaned yourself, but you didn't really clean yourself well. And then later when you were, like, you're going home, you're going to sleep or something, you took off your underwear or whatever, and you realized that. That you didn't actually clean yourself well. That is where people want to insert things. It's abomination. When you are bathing and you clean yourself, you should just put your hand there and smell it and see what is there. You should try it and see. Yeah. No. Tomorrow morning when you are bathing or tomorrow, you try it and see. Try it and see. You'll be disappointed in yourself. You can take a Dolce and Gabbana and do shh, it will not go. Take Calvin Klein, Wallach, whatever. What is written is written. It's unclean. It is written. When you see people do those things, you should see these people are walking in the unrighteousness, the wrath of God upon wickedness. That's what you see. So when you see somebody says, I'm gay and all of that, it's not something to rejoice about. Oh, that person is proving to us that God is real. He rewards wickedness. Yeah. He gave them up. Gave them up. Give them up. Give them up. It's like when you see somebody who is mad eating from the roadside garbage. Your skin crawls. Garbage. It's like that person, they have changed. They have been turned over. Something has caused them to turn from normalcy and normal life to the opposite side. That's how these people, this gay and lesbian, that wicked, for somebody to kill somebody, you really have turned the opposite side.
Am I preaching? And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate minds to do those things which are not convenient. Things that are not convenient. Things that are not convenient. I remember we have a Christian sister, nice Christian sister, who is married to a young man. Many years ago, myself and one pastor were counseling her. Her problem was that the husband watches pornography all day and then always want to use her as a test, as a guinea pig. Yeah. And it has gotten to the point that the husband doesn't like the normal way anymore. Christian sister came to, he said, Pastor, what can I do? He fights me and pinch me down and do it even I don't want it. I'm tired. He said, Pastor, please tell me what to do. A reprobate mind. Don't have. Some people don't have. Oh, some people don't have personal V. You have a personal V. You don't want a V. You can ask Papi. Papi doesn't have one. He doesn't have one. He's looking for one. He's searching all over. Kekla, why are you laughing? You went to look for one in Mali. Yeah, in Mali. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. These are all results of people who have a dead spirit.
and are wicked. This is what they do.
If I were you, I want to wake up from my deadness today. If I were you, I would say, Lord God Almighty, I can't handle this dead spirit that I'm carrying. I want my spirit to be alive and to be awake. I want to give my life. I want to be born again. I'm going to give my life to Jesus today. Stand to your feet, somebody. Give Jesus a big hand clap. Hallelujah. Father, thank you. Thank you for this morning, this afternoon. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for the miracle of salvation. Thank you that we have salvation. Thank you that our spirits are not those dead and wicked spirits anymore, but we have Jesus in our lives. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray for your people now. I ask you, oh God, for intervention. I pray that, Lord, you intervene in their lives. I pray for needs. I pray for healing. Anyone who is not feeling well, I pray that, Lord, you will touch that person and heal that person. Let the miracle of healing be their portion today. Every challenge this week, I pray that, Lord, you come through. You take care of that need. Let that challenge be overturned into victory. Let a song, oh God, be sung by your people this week. Even as you cause signs and wonders and miracles to happen in their lives. I give you praise. I give you glory. In Jesus' name, somebody shouted amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For booking and more information on the ministry of Bishop Collins, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at shepherdhousegy@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.shepherdhouseinternational.org. God richly bless you.